Hey, Justin here with Stay at Home Dads Podcast. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this wonderful place where I talk about the many different things that go on here in my stay at home dad life. Things with my kids, my family, being a better father and a better husband, men's mental and physical wellness, parenting struggles I have, success stories as well. I also talk about parenting and life tips that I read about, that I see online, that I get from other people. I come and share those with you as well. And lastly, just random things that, I don't know, that I think are interesting or funny or worthy of talking about, I come on here and I share with you. So hopefully something in that mixed bag is enjoyable, is enlightening, is educational. Maybe it makes you be a better father, better husband, a better man. But anyways, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening to the show today. All right. So how's everyone doing? What's going on? I haven't been on here in a couple of weeks. I know I posted a classic episode, Gina, one of my favorite shows, I would have to say. Good conversation there. But yeah, haven't been on here in a while, so maybe I'll be a little rusty at this. I don't know. But anyways, it was a big week, right? Big eclipse stuff happening. Pretty monumental. Indiana here was right in the path of totality, which I feel like that's a phrase that was never on anyone's radar until now, and now my six-year-old is even saying it. So, yeah, we didn't have school that day. Kids went out and saw the eclipse, and we're all amped up and excited, and we had the glasses and the whole thing. But I didn't let my kids look at the total coverage, right? When the moon is completely covering the sun, and then you just see that little light ring around it, I thought that would like be bad that they looked at that, bad for their little developing eyes, bad for my eyes too, because I got a story for that. So my nine-year-old was kind of pissed off that she couldn't see it because it went dark, you know, and the glasses are dark, and now we wouldn't let her look at the total coverage. So she was a little disappointed, and B, kind of mad at me because I was like, no, don't look at it. It's not good for your eyes. Me, on the other hand, I did take a little peek-ski, little look, little glance up there, and I was taking pictures throughout the eclipse, you know, when the moon was coming across. I was taking little photos. I was putting the glasses over my lens of my phone so I could kind of get something good. Well, in doing that, now I never looked directly at it with the naked eye. I was looking at my phone, but I think there was light still coming around my little phone, even though it was right in front of my face, and my eyes were kind of not good after that day. Probably within an hour after the eclipse, I was like done looking at the sun. I could tell that I had some direct beams, freaking sunbeams right in my face. So yeah, live and learn, I guess. Don't do that. But it also kind of reminds me of high school, because I was in welding class in high school, and you know, there's 20 kids in a welding class, and there's kids welding and tacking and doing all that stuff all over the place. And what did Justin get? Yeah, Justin got welder eye. So this really reminded me of something that happened to me over 20 years ago. So yeah, not good. Don't look at the sun for a prolonged period of time, even if it's through your phone, because that sun ray, I think, comes around your phone. Even though you're focused on the screen, you still get those in your face. So yeah, it took 2 days maybe for my eyes to kind of feel good again. They feel totally normal now. So yeah, there's that little word to the wise for you. But anyways, moving on here, talk about the meat and potatoes of today's topic, which is, you know, I like to hammer down on it. I know I do. It's cell phones and iPads and technology. So that's what I'm going to get into. But I have a little story, another little story for you. Kennedy, my six-year-old, we were sitting around dinner table, me and Kennedy, and well, all of us were. My wife was there too. And Kennedy gave me she had a little observation on social media and people and kids and adults, you know, using it. She doesn't even know what it is. None of my kids know what social media is. Sure, they see mom and dad occasionally, probably more often than I should be, but they see us on our phones And I'll show them a picture, be like, oh, look at this. It's a dolphin. Or, oh, look at this exploding volcano, or, you know, something like that. So other than that, they don't really know what social media is, which is good. That's 100% what I want. I don't want my kids to know or have it or want it or any of that. So I was explaining, how did this go? I was just explaining at the dinner table what social media was. And this is something I'll remember for a long time because it just kind of, I don't know, it just is going to stick with me. I know it is. So how this started was my six-year-old, she had a little plastic cell phone, right? It doesn't do anything, just goes beep, beep, boop, boop, you know. She had that sitting on the dinner table, sitting there next to her plate. And I was like, hey. I was like, no phones at the table. I said, that's a rule. And she's like, Dad, it's fake. And she's laughing, you know. And I said, hey, it doesn't matter. A phone is a phone, Kennedy. You gotta, you know, get that out of here. So she takes it and she moves it. And then she proceeds to, you know, check my pockets and feel around where I'm sitting to see if I'm hiding my phone, right? And then that's how we got on this whole subject of phones and social media and looking at stuff. So they asked me, like, what social media is. They didn't really understand it. And I told her, and I said, hey, you know, we don't want our phones at the table, you know, because people tend to look at their phones a lot, and they're so connected with their phone, and a lot of times they're just wasting time doom scrolling through social media. That's kind of what I explained. And first she goes, that's not right for you to look at other people's stuff if they don't want you to, you know? And that's how she thought of it. That, well, why am I looking at other people's posts, right? Because she probably doesn't even know what a post is. And so that was her thought. Like, everything that's posted or people's pages is private, or that should be private, right? So that's kind of a interesting thing that she said. And I'm like, no, it's not like that, you know? It was a great response. But I did tell her, well, people post stuff on social media for other people to see it. That's the whole point. You want to, you know, it's like this platform to show off, kind of, pretty much. And they still didn't really get that. Like, why do you want other people to see your stuff or be in your personal life? That's kind of how they were thinking about it. And, it was good to hear. It was just interesting to hear how essentially stupid all this shit is from an innocent kid that doesn't really get the point of it, right? She doesn't understand the point of social media because her life is right here, right now in front of me in my experiences and in doing things with my family, my friends, my school, and everything else, you know? So it's kind of interesting that it's not even on her radar, which, like I said, it's great. But then it comes down to her own analogy about using social media too much and being on devices and stuff like that. And I just thought this was great. Coming from a six-year-old little kid, she says, being on your phone or your iPad too much, I can't remember exactly how she worded it, but she said, it's like eating ice cream every single day, all the time. She said, too much ice cream will make you sick, and it'll make you not feel good, and that's what being on your phone too much can do. That's pretty much exactly what she said. That was her point. And I was kind of blown away that she came up with that. And I told her that. I said, wow, that's a really good analogy. That's really good that you came up with that. So, you know, kids understand. They understand the point of it. You know, they I think, know why we, hopefully, most of us put rules in place on this stuff and not allow it. And hopefully we don't do it ourselves. But yeah, all that came from was her plastic phone being on the table that kind of sparked this whole conversation. And I get it. I beat this dead horse. I talk about this all the time, right? But I honestly don't think people are hearing it. It's not being taken seriously. We say it. I say it. Other people say it. I know they do. But it's easily ignored because parents are looking for a way out. They're looking for a path of least resistance. They're looking for an easy road. And honestly, because parents are addicted to their phone, they're addicted to their social media, they're addicted to being able to look anything up, to find out anything, to get a hold of anyone at any time. They're used to that. You know, these kids notice. Like I said, they notice, they watch, they see, they observe us pulling our phones out all the time, neck cranked down, you know what I mean? You think of the position, staring into the abyss that is our phone, missing things that are going on around us, ignoring your kids, your spouse. You think about that actor that we saw in some old movie, and you're like, oh, what was that guy doing? Where's he been? And you go, you know, immediately pick your phone up and you search. Or you have to go somewhere tomorrow and you want to see, oh, well, what's the weather like there? You know, or you see a commercial and you see something on TV and you're like, oh, how much does that cost? And you look at, you know, it's just this cycle of always having that. And I think it's kind of crazy. And what type of role models are we being? That's another thing I think about. When my kids see me and my wife on our phones, we're doom scrolling just to pass the time, they're going to apply that to their own lives and their own relationships when given the chance, aren't they? I think so. And yes, I get it. I understand. I get it. Before you say it in your head, Justin, well, we're adults and they're kids and we need to do these things. You know, some of us work on our devices and we have to be blah, blah, blah to make money and to do our jobs. Plus they're kids, right? They don't get the same privileges as us because I'm an adult, you know? I get it. I understand. Sorry I used that voice, but I get it. Rules for thee, but not for me, right? You ever heard that saying? That's it. Those aren't necessarily the times I'm referring to or wanting to talk about. Although kids notice that too. They see that happening as well. And it's also not just about us being on our phones all the time. It's about the kids being on stuff, right, all the time as well. This overabundance of screen time that we've kind of progressively given our kids over time. It's just gotten more and more. TV and cartoons all day and iPads at home and iPads at restaurants and mom and dad's phone at the doctor to shut the kid up. Even screens in school for learning various things, you know? The path of least resistance. Shut them up, keep them quiet, let them melt into a screen so dad can get the dishes done. Or hey, dad does the same thing sometimes. I do. Give the kids their screen, dad'll be on his phone, and it's just sitting in silence. And I think that's kind of messed up. So anyways, kind of to get going with this instead of just standing here on my soapbox and complaining and bitching about it. I'm currently reading this book, and that's kind of where a lot of this came from. And it's called Let Them Be Kids by Jessica Smart. And this book is pretty much about those things, like letting children be children, not rushing that process, letting them be kids and do kid things. The book goes over managing technology, fostering creative play, balancing family time and extra activities, letting kids be awkward, protecting their innocence, and showing grace when kids don't listen. That's from the little snippet in the description. So anyways, the following stuff that I'm going to talk about is from that book. Will I be able to relay it in a smooth and helpful way? I hope so. You know, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Hopefully I'm not just word vomiting someone else's thoughts and I can interject some of my own in here. But anyways, my little retelling of this book does not start at the beginning, nor am I even done with this book. I'm like, I don't know, a few chapters in. I'm a slow listener, I guess. But the following is just things I've read so far, and it's kind of resonated with me, and it kind of goes along with this whole technology topic that I'm going over. So the first one that she mentions that I thought was worth noting is she says exploratory learning, learning on your own by investigating and playing and exploring, she says is being pushed out of childhood to make way for other things, more academic learning, more busyness, more sports, more excelling, more camps, more busy, busy, busy stuff, that extra. And it seems anymore that when kids have downtime, parents think that they should just be doing something valuable with that time. Parents see that kid sitting there and they're like, ugh, you're not doing anything. That's lazy. That's wasting time. And maybe it's even parents thinking kids shouldn't be bored anymore. I think that's a big part of it as well. it's like we're pushing our old person way of thinking onto our kids. Which, interesting enough, I saw this Instagram post, of course, when I was scrolling my social media, and this post was comparing playing video games as a kid versus playing them as an adult. And the kid version they showed was fun. The kid was playing in the evening, and then the kid says to himself, I'm going to play this tomorrow. I'm going to have so much fun with my friends playing this video game. No cares in the world, right? Well, then it flashes to the adult version of playing video games, and the adult's internal monologue was, I'm wasting my time. Why am I playing this? I should be making money. I'm worried about what I have to cook for dinner tonight. I should be doing something productive, and, you know, on and on and on. And seeing that, and now talking about this, it kind of makes sense now that our thought process as adults is to be busy, to always be doing something productive and worthy. And that's not how kids think. That's not in their realm of produce, 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 right? They enjoy the games. They enjoy playing with friends, being bored, pretending, or should I say the lack of structure, right? We feel that if we have downtime to do absolutely nothing, then we should be doing something. Can you agree with that? You ever think of that? Like you just sit down on the couch for 20 minutes and be like, oh, I'm gonna rest. And then what immediately, almost immediately comes into your mind? Oh, I should do this. I should clean my kitchen. Oh, I gotta go shovel snow. I gotta cut the grass. What are we cooking for dinner tonight? What are we doing for the weekend? What's the sport? You know what I mean? It's just your brain is always going, going, going. And kids don't think like that. So I really think that we should stop assuming that that's what the kids want, because I don't think they do. But anyways, so she says that that takes away from this exploratory learning aspects, the unstructuredness of being a kid. Instead, it's all these other things, like I mentioned. Do I want to say that they're forced onto a kid's life? Well, maybe not forced. I mean, we can all sway our kids to a point to where they want to do a bunch of shit. And I know each kid is different too. One kid's going to want to be active all the time and doing stuff and doing sports and doing this and doing that. And then on the other hand, there's going to be kids that just want to be a little more relaxed and play with friends and read a book or sit on an iPad, honestly, and not do a bunch of extra stuff. And I know a lot of times, too, that kids are, they're wanting. Some kids are wanting, like, yeah, I want to play this sport. I want to do this. I want to go to that camp. I want to, you know, busy, busy, busy. I know that that's a thing, right? I just think that this practice this and repetition that and XYZ, do, 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 is taking precedent over just being a kid and doing those typical kid things. I think it's becoming a little excessive, if that makes sense. And yes, I know kids get bored easily, and kids will come and complain to mom and dad when they are bored. But do they need to be scheduled to no end and never be bored, never allowed to be bored, never have to think about what to do because mom and dad have it all planned out? Boredom breeds creativity. Boredom teaches delayed gratification. It teaches patience. So being bored is a real important aspect of being a kid and growing up. Parenting, in a way, has, I think, turned into some sort of competition among fellow parents. Maybe not everybody. I can't, you know, I don't want to lump all parents into this, but I think it's something. A look, see what my kid's doing, you know, see how smart my kid is, look at all the activities my kid's in, and look at all the ones he dominates, look at all the sports he plays, or look at this sport. It's a dick measuring contest, really, that nobody talks about or realizes. I really think that. Who has the bigger house? Who has the nicer car? Who has the vacation home? Who has the most successful kid? Who has the kid that's doing the most, right? You can kind of see that, can't you? She mentions a kid's version of work should be play, that kids learn most effectively through play. And sure, kids are going to lean into tech a little bit more than what we would probably want. Video games and iPad time and TV time more often than not, they're going to choose doing those things over some other things. Not all kids, right? I can't lump them all in here like I've been saying. But a lot are going to choose that stuff over playing outside or pretending with toys and with friends. I think it's kind of this sense of control for kids when they have that screen in their hand, when they have that device, you know, they have the power. I have the power. It's like He-Man, right? Jessica also says any screen time, TV or otherwise, should be earned, or at least that's what she does in her house, that it's not this open buffet of technology, just anytime, any place, anytime you want it, here it is. And I really think I should do that as well. I like that idea because, yeah, here in my house, the TV is on a lot. My girls have pretty much carte blanche with the TV. Like, if they want to go upstairs and watch a show, they do that. They go on their little Netflix account, their kids' account, and they watch, I don't know, Peppa Pig or some crap, but they have that. And maybe I should reel that in a little bit because I guess it could be kind of excessive. I mean, they don't get to play on their iPads and stuff all the time, but the TV, yeah. So, yeah, I'm kind of second-guessing my choices here as well. She says this prompts her kids to read more and do other activities a lot more, and it even causes her to read more when TV time and technology time is earned. This is another good point she makes here too, and it's something that I've said in the past, and I said at the top of the show, that we need to make sure that we're being good role models with this, that we are displaying what we want our kids to be doing. If you want your kid to read more books, but you never read books yourself, what message are you sending? If you want kids to be on devices less, yet here we are every waking moment punching away and scrolling on our phones, not paying attention to anything else, then how are we going to expect our kids to not do or want to do that same thing? We're eating snacks even. We're eating shitty, terrible snacks and ice creams and candy all the time. Yet we expect our kids to eat a dry-ass rice cake? You know what I mean? Like, how does that work? You know? I don't know. Jessica also talks about how phones are robbing kids of their childhood, replacing having connections with friends, real connections with their friends, enjoying different things outside of technology in the phone, pool time and baseball games or shopping with friends or whatever it is. And replacing it with checking phones and giving status updates and taking pictures. And it's causing them to miss out on the little moments because of this damn device. And she also mentions our generation, the millennials. What are we now? We're 30s and 40s, I guess. Pretty old anymore. That we can still remember what it was like to not have these things. To not have phones and internet and not be so connected, which maybe is a blessing for us that we can still remember that. I can appreciate that time in my life when none of this stuff existed. It's kind of nice. It's just, it's wild to think too that my kids will never know what that's like. Your kids will never know what that's like to have to wait by the phone for your friend to call, or if you weren't home then, you couldn't be reached. If you weren't at your house, nobody could reach you. You were unreachable. That's a crazy concept, isn't it? Now we have watches and phones, and even if I'm not near my phone, I've got a digital watch that clicks and taps and beeps when I get a text, and I'm always knowing what's going on. Or even snapping pictures with a disposable camera and then waiting 2 months to get it developed and you forget what was even on the roll. You know, it's just crazy to think that those things are kind of gone. And no wonder nobody has any patience anymore. We don't have to wait for anything. I don't have to wait to get a hold of someone. I don't have to wait to take a picture and see it. I don't have to wait for anything. I don't have to wait to look at a menu at a restaurant. I can just look it up on my phone. And I know a lot of that too is for older kids, less for kids that are my age. I mean, I'm not going to give my 6 or 9 year old a phone and access to the social media. It'd be pretty freaking stupid of me if I did that. And granted, I know some parents are doing that, and it's kind of frightening and it's kind of scary. You're giving a sub teen a phone. It's like, what in the hell are you doing? And I've seen it. I've seen children with nicer, newer, more expensive phones than me. 9, 10-year-old kids, 8-year-old kids with phones. What the freaking hell, right? Jennifer quotes that American teens are spending about 2/3 of their waking hours on some sort of screen. And she asks the question, with all this tech today and our inability to go back in time, how do we give our kids the best kind of childhood? How do we do that? She goes through some points here about what technology misuse can do and kind of some things to do about it. And I'm going to go over those here quick and try to wrap this show up. We're getting a little long already. First one she talks about is number one here. It's biologically proven that kids' brains need a whole bunch of things in order to develop in a healthy way. And absolutely none of them must be tech-based. Zero are revolved around tech. Zero. None. They don't need it. It's not a necessity in growing up. Touch, nature, exercise, friendship, fine motor skills, daydreaming, and on and on and on. And being bored is probably in there too. Two, she says, children need attachment to their parents and to other humans more than anything else. And if we don't build these connections or allow them to build on their own within our kids, then they're not going to be there. When kids are tired or kids are lonely, technology will never be able to replace the human connections. It never will. I saw another ad recently, and it was about technology and video games and stuff, and it said advancement or, you know, technology advancement isn't always a good thing. And it showed the before, and it showed these guys all sitting down to play video games. They're all coming over, they put the disc in, and 3 or 4 guys sitting on a couch, and they're eating a pizza, and they're drinking sodas, and they're playing video games. And it showed, like, more than just playing the video game. It was bonding and communicating and in-person connections. And then it jumped to today, and it was a lone kid or a lone guy sitting in front of a big TV, remote in hand, headset on, completely alone. And that's really, I don't want to say, oh, that's really true, but it is. It's advancement in that area has kind of taken away some of these things that are really important in our kids' lives. Number three, 90% of addictions, she says, begin in childhood. So what happens in childhood literally changes kids' brains. So I'm assuming she's talking about, you know, getting on technology and excessively doing stuff and excessively playing video games and being on social media and doing all that stuff can be a precursor to being addicted to other things as an adult, I would guess. Oh, geez. O.J. Simpson just died at 76 from cancer. Just popped up on my screen. That's crazy. Totally unrelated. But there it is. All right, number four. Social media and video games are not preparing kids for life and adulthood, no matter how convincing they're spun that they are. They're just not. They're designed for adults, she says. And even adults have a hard time monitoring, regulating their use. And I would agree. I'm not going to let a kid play Fortnite. There's so many kids that play this Fortnite shoot-em-up game, and it's just, it's not good. It's not. It's really not good. She says we hurt our kids when we treat them like adults. Social media is a marketing tool. It is not designed for children. It's a gateway. It's just social media and kids just opens up. Even teens. I'm not talking just like 9-year-olds now with my kids. Even preteens and teens getting on phones and social media. It's just, there's so many things with body dysmorphia and bullying and this addiction to seeing how popular I am or seeing how well my posts do or any of that stuff. It's just, it's not good. So please, I know I'm just repeating myself over and over again, but please don't go down that road. Number five, children and teens are at the worst time to use technology. This is because they're developing their identities. Their brains haven't fully matured yet, and they're struggling to make wise, measured decisions. This is when kids discover who they are, right? We all hear that about this time in their life when they're really finding out who they are, they're finding out where they belong and how they fit in, what they like, what makes them happy. And I think technology will hinder them from doing that, from allowing them to do those other things to find out who they are. And like I said about social media and stuff, it influences in all the wrong ways. I've even seen it without social media. Sometimes it doesn't even take social media and these goddamn Stanley mugs, right? My girls wanted one. They want one because they've seen all these other kids in school with them. They never really knew about them. Of course, they're not going to know about them because they're not. There's not really a lot of commercials for them and they're not online, so they don't really know. But they find out because all of a sudden, 5 or 10 other kids in school start bringing them. And then those kids are talking about how, oh, awesome these Stanley Cups are and look how, you know, popular I am or whatever. And now my kids want them. And it's not because they genuinely like the cup, but it's because they see everybody else. And they're influenced by that. It's crazy how that works, right? It's just wild. 6, not all screens are created equal, okay? She says watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is not nearly the same as playing Fortnite. They're vastly different, right? Practicing schoolwork and typing skills is not equal to checking social media posts and how many likes you have or playing some flashy, addictive game. So yes, there are good types of screen time and bad types, or maybe less bad types, okay? Screen time would also be limited time. One show per session versus binging 6 episodes of Paw Patrol or something like that. Longer time between screen changes, you know what I mean? Not this constant flash and craziness. It's a little more subdued. And also co-watching with family members is different than a kid going in their room, covering up under their covers, and just blasting their face with an iPad. It's very different. Jessica does give some advice to curb our addiction to doom scrolling and our kids binging Peppa Pig for 3 hours or whatever show they're into. Maybe it's freaking Gabby's Dollhouse. That's what's popular in mine right now. So she does have some advice for us. She says some of these things are extreme, but if it gets us to make a change or gets us to really think about what's going on, then that's what really matters. Her first tip is no cell phone until the kid can pay for it, which we know that that's a long way off. Cell phones are very expensive. Plans are expensive. So we know that that honestly just means, read between the lines, it means no cell phone, okay? It means push that cell phone down the road to teen years, high school, maybe even as far as you can. And if you get them a phone, get them a regular stripped down flip phone. It does call, it does text, it doesn't have all the fancy crap on it. Next one, she says, is being on a screen is not in the normal realm of daily activities. No part of the daily routine is to look at apps, stream videos, or browse social media. She says there are too many other things to do. A lot of those things I had mentioned earlier, going out and playing and doing sports and doing things with friends. Just don't over-schedule your kid with a bunch of that shit. 3, no first-person shooter games ever, she says. So don't show your kid how awesome Grand Theft Auto is, all right? Grand Theft Auto is a fun game. I enjoy it. I'm also 40. I'm not 12. So no first-person shooter games. 4, parents set the tone. Just like I've mentioned all day, they watch us do it. They watch us use our phones. And one day, our kids are going to have phones of their own. If they're watching us be on them constantly, what do you think they are going to do? Even if we don't allow it until later in life, and they see our normal routines using phones all the time, picking it up every 2 seconds, that's just going to condition them to do the same thing when they have a phone. And we want to just make sure we're setting them up the best we can to not always be attached to it and addicted to it and using it all the time. So bottom line here is what? Limit tech and don't be afraid to do so. Find other like-minded people that treat tech and phones like you do. Chase after that rich life outside of technology. There's so much going on outside. There's so much to do and explore and see that does not involve technology. Tech-addicted kids don't play or attach well to families. Their reading suffers, their imagination suffers, And they're honestly, they have a high potential to be exposed to graphic content and images much sooner. Which, that's a whole different ball of wax once you open that Pandora's box. And then what do? You can't put it back. It's been seen, and it can just, I don't even know what to say. I've never really talked about that, but yeah, so be very careful. And just talk to your family about all this stuff. Talk to them, talk to your kids about it like I did the other night. See where they're at, see what they think about it. Don't make it weird. Tell your kids, tell your family to hold each other accountable as well. I actually don't mind it when my kids call me out about my phone use. I kind of think it's funny, and I kind of use it as a wake-up call when it happens. Sometimes they've literally grabbed my phone out of my hand and like put it down. And I'm like, okay, like I get it. You're seeing me not be present in the room or present watching the movie with the family or doing whatever. You're seeing that and you're telling me. And I need to really embrace that and be like, okay, yeah, you're right, Kennedy. You're right, Olivia. I'm going to put my phone down. I'm going to focus on real life right here and not some inflated bullshit that I see online. And honestly, if you're around your kids, just put it away. Just make that mental note to put your phone away. When my kids come downstairs in the morning, usually I wake up much earlier than they do, and I'll have the news on. And yeah, sometimes I'm scrolling on my phone and looking at stuff, and I hear them coming downstairs. I make sure to put my phone down so my nose isn't stuffed in it and I'm not paying attention to the world around me. I want to put my phone down and greet them when they come down the stairs. Hey, how's it going? How'd you sleep? Stuff like that. Whatever's on that, it'll be on that when I take the time to look at it later. I don't want to just be this person that's just zoned out. That's not who I want to be. And I know that's not who you want to be either. So just little tips there for you. All right, that's it for today's episode, guys. That's all I got for today's episode of Stay Home Dad's Podcast. So in my opinion, great tips here. Great perspectives on this whole subject. And no, I'm not perfect. It's hard not picking up my phone and scrolling Marketplace for 10 minutes while I have nothing going on. I know for a fact I have something much better to spend my time on. Even if it's just 10 minutes, better than looking at my device. I mean, we're parents here, aren't we? We always have something to do. And I pick on these subjects and I talk about these subjects because I struggle with them myself. Like, I deal with this on a regular basis. I'm not coming on here trying to act like this high and mighty person that does no wrong. Like, I do plenty wrong, and I think that's why I pick on some of these subjects to talk about with you. Anyways, please go check that book out. It's called Let Them Be Kids by Jessica Smart. It's a good read. So far, it's been a great read. If you get the Libby app, which is an app through your local library, it's an audiobook. It's easy to get a hold of, and it's free. So please go check it out. Also, if you have any questions or comments for me, you know where to find me, on podbean.com or over on Instagram at stayathomedads_podcast. And that's it. Thanks again for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.